what I need.
I would kill everyone in this room for a drop of sweet beer.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Welcome to Big Plummy Head, the bittersweet show.
And it's bitter beer, sweet beer, bitter memories, sweet memories, just some
in between.
Yeah, all of that. And so we're starting off on the bitter side of things with that. We got a bunch of beers that we're going to get through today. Somehow, we'll force ourselves to. And Rick, what are you starting off with?
I'm starting off with the Deschutes Brewery Hophenge IPA, which was first brewed in 2006 as an aggressive West Coast style IPA. In 2007, Hophenge went Imperial. Several pounds of Centennial, Cascade, and Northern Brewer hops in each barrel. Heavy dry hop presence to it. And it's got 8.1% alcohol, and IBUs are 95.
95. That's pretty good there. Well, how's it going down? Is it tasting 95?
Real smooth. It's a nice coppery color. It's got a poured initially with a real thick white small bubbles head, you know. And it just tastes really good. It's.
Are you going to hold it up so we can see it?
It's aged fairly well.
Oh, it's pretty beer.
Hold it up. Let's see it. That's a good-looking beer there. It is kind of coppery color, kind of dark.
Yeah, almost ruby, I'd say.
Yeah. And we're trying out the big... Oh, there it goes.
Oh, yeah,
that was our beer talking.
Yeah, baby.
And Mike's pouring the first pint. Good God, look at that head.
A little bit of foam action.
This is a double wide IPA, and Mike, you got some specs on that guy, right?
Yeah, sure do. Comes from the Boulevard Brewery. It's in their Smokestack series, double wide IPA. Uses Zeus and Magnum hops for both bittering and aroma, and golly, I'm struggling with this one. A-H-T-A-N-U-M, Antum?
Huh?
A tanum?
Something.
A tanum hops? I've never heard of that one.
I've never tried to pronounce it, though.
It's a made-up hop.
Added solely for aroma. Two additional dry hopping regimens employ, there it is again, a tanum, sentinel, and chinook varieties. The resulting beer, not surprisingly, has a hop-forward aroma, redolent of peach and apricot. The assertive flavor bursts forth with citrus notes of blood orange and lemon. Blood orange. Interesting. A caramel malt backbone serves to balance the intensity of the hops. There is a little restraint in the flavor of this beer. It is certainly not for the pedestrian palate. Original gravity 19 degrees Plato. Final gravity 4 degrees Plato. Alcohol content 8.5% by volume.
And it's got...
The reason Mike is talking and not drinking is because you guys have about 4 inches of head there.
It's a monster head. It's a gigantic monster head. And, yeah, we're killing time trying to, like, please let
it's
it
nice
come down.
And, it's nice and pillowy, too.
It's huge. Look at that. It's like, this looks like something if you cut a mattress, one of those foam mattresses. It's different size bubbles. The bubbles range from microscopic to nickel size. This is some crazy carbonation.
And it's got a good flavor. I finally got a sip out of it. It's pretty good. I like it.
Oh, you got that milk mustache
got going.
Beer, baby. Man, you got to face plant into this.
Now, Groucho and Chud from thebeerreport.com, one of the fine podcasts you can hear on beersafari.com, they went nuts over this stuff. They loved it.
Really?
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah.
I like it, too. I do like it. It's pretty good stuff. Now, I didn't get the IBUs on this one because it didn't have it on this little page I'm reading off of, and I don't see it on the bottle anymore.
And this is from Boulevard.
You think it might be on Rate Beer?
They're in Kansas City, Mo, right?
I believe that's correct, yeah.
I know they're around there.
Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri.
Uh-huh. And Boulevard makes a bunch of good beers. I don't think they have just an enormous distribution, but... Hey, we can get it. So, good enough, right?
You know, what I had today was a Boulevard IPA.
Oh, yeah.
And that's pretty good stuff. So but I do wide, like this a lot better.
And the double wide, the Smoke Stack or Smoke House?
Smoke
series?
Stack series.
Okay.
Yeah, read the label on the back.
Okay,
so cool.
It says The classic IPA, or India Pale Ale, is a traveler's beer, aggressively hopped to withstand the long, hot ocean voyage to the British East Indies. Our double white IPA also travels well and is right at home in the most exotic ports of call of the Midwest, such as Pekin, Illinois. Wow. Hey, when you think exotic, think Pekin. While this modern-day prairie schooner may not resemble a graceful sailing sloop, our liberal hopping regimen does make her virtually twister-proof. Keep some in the cellar to enjoy while waiting for the all-clear to sound. And it shows a picture of a glass and a serving glass, and they're showing, like, you know, the bell-shaped snifter job. I'm wondering, is there an actual name? I mean, you know, if it was a red wine glass or a brandy snifter, but that's not really what these are. They're like, they have less of a slope inward. I don't know what you call these, beer goblets, something. But very good. And some of the weird taste notes that you're reading, citrus, mm-hmm. blood orange and stuff, there is a definite citrus.
Yeah, it's very strong citrus flavor in here.
And Rick, we got lacing like crazy on this glass.
It's a very, very good looking beer. It's got a little cloud to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's chill haze or not, but it's got a little cloudy.
Yeah, it is a cloudy beer.
It's a good tasting beer. I do like it. I know what
my Grouch's is perfectly clear.
Yeah, we can see that from here. This is a cloudy one, but
yeah, this one's bottle conditioned. Is yours? I guess it is bottle conditioned too.
No, it was not. I don't know.
It wasn't?
I think it was filtered.
Okay.
And this, apparently, if you want to know more about it, it's at www.smokestack.boulevard.com. Shit, make that a little confusing.
So hey, my beer was part of a series also. It's called the Bond Street Series, and that includes Hop Trip, Fresh Hop Pale Ale, Hop Henge, the one I'm drinking, Broken Top Bock, can't read the number, 10th Anniversary Pilsner, and another Anniversary Golden Ale. None of those are from Deschutes.
We don't know where ours is from. Deschutes makes some damn fine beer. I love everything
from them. They're hit and miss with me, but a lot of people really appreciate them.
I'm trying to think what I've had from there.
They come and go. Probably, and of course,
Black Butte.
I don't think I've ever had that one.
Well, we'll be having them at the here before you know it, Great American Beer Fest.
Right around the corner.
It's a month, and I think I saw something like 7 weeks. Something like that, 6 weeks away, right?
It's Rocktober, I know that.
Yeah, yeah, not far.
Rocktober.
Yeah. So that'll be good. We'll make our annual pilgrimage out there. Mike is 99.9% sure. But I was commenting on the lacing and the coverage on here. I was looking to see if I had any rings to tell me every sip I took. Like the new Budweiser or Michelob commercials are informing us, apparently.
The new IPAs that are out.
Yeah, or I don't know, the APAs, whatever the hell.
They are American Pale.
They're just saying all their like crafty, look, it's got beer rings. It's like, well, okay. It'd be the first time I ever noticed one on there. Dirty glass.
We know how to make beer, too.
Yeah.
Which they do. I mean, they certainly have the money and the facilities to do so.
Plus, they're Belgian.
They just have chosen not to.
Yeah, they're Belgians now. They got to make better beer, and so it's and I don't know if it's timing or what. I mean, obviously they had to be working on this prior to the InBev purchasing decision, but here we go. They're bought by InBev, and now they're just like pushing craft, and look at us. We're really good beer guys too.
Here's a
look at our fall.
Yeah.
Here's a neat little review of the Michelob Pale Ale. This was on the Opinionated Beer page. And this guy responds, Steve, what a sad, sad waste of money. First of all, a pale ale should be at least a little hearty with a nice hop aroma and taste. This was sweet, fruity, and bad tasting, so it loses points for not only being a pale ale, but also just being a poor excuse for a beer.
But you know what you got to do, though? And I, on the one hand, yeah, we can say, it's still rat piss, et cetera, et cetera. But if it starts shifting people mm-hmm. to looking for something a little better, granted, it's no double wide, it's no Deschutes, no Hop Henge. But if it starts steering you, right? Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. I think it's one of those things that's going to backfire.
Yeah,
I really do. I think it.
Well, I just hope it doesn't hurt the craft beer industry in that it's just like this beer doesn't meet the style. Okay, so let's say somebody grabs this beer and they go, they're a beginner craft beer drinker and they want to experiment. They grab one of these and they taste it and they somewhat like it because it doesn't have a lot of flavor to it, and it's kind of reminds them of the Bud or the Mick. And then they go, hey, wow, I might try that IPA, that Sierra Nevada or the whatever. And then they go try it, and it is the style, and they don't like it. They might go back to the Bud and drink that Bud.
Okay, that could happen.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, if the door is opened, right?
True.
If the door is open, they start stepping through it. It's training wheel beer, right? We'll all know one day.
Training wheel beer,
right? I mean, I doubt. The one thing I don't see it doing is taking share from mm-hmm. craft beer market. People who drink craft beer now, they're not going to. I mean, what Steve said, it's shit, and you know, it's a poor excuse, etc. People who drink craft beer now are, I would say, like, I mean, I don't claim to know anything mm-hmm. about wine. I know what I like. So you could put a $200 a glass bottle of wine in front of me, and you could put some box wine in front of me.
Yeah.
Whichever one I like, that's the one I'm going to drink, yeah. right? Okay, so I'm pretty much just, you know, wine-tarded, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
That, I believe, is the majority of beer drinkers in the world today. They're beer-tarded. They're uh-huh. going to drink the swill that's commonly available. They, you know, stole out of daddy's refrigerator, etc.
Yeah.
And then you got the craft beer guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we drink stuff now, and it's like, Rick, I mean, you could pour kerosene down his throat, and he'd tell you about the flavor notes and the IBUs. Because he's, you know, he's got a palate that he's developed by repeated many, many, many times, repeated exposure to hops. It's like he's drinking a 95 IBU beer, right?
I've been trying to find the IBUs
because
on
I
this one. I can't.
Some crap, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you immersed yourself in there, and I think you are not atypical. I think you are typical of most craft beer people who want to go and they want more, they demand more, et cetera, et cetera. And so we all liked it. And of course, you know, as Sam Calagione from Dogfish Head said, anybody can afford the best beer in the world, right?
Sure.
So it's pretty cool that we can all do that. But now you got this Budweiser, them damn Belgians, coming along, opening this up. And I applaud that.
Yeah.
It's going to suck. It's going to be shit compared to what really it is. Yeah. But it's going to open the door. And the thing is somebody drinks this and it's got more taste than Bud,
mm-hmm.
more taste than Bud Light, for God's sake, more taste than Michelob Ultra, it's going to open the door, and then maybe they'll want to try a little more. So yeah, to your point, if they go from that and say, oh, I had a Bud IPA, let me get one of them other IPAs. Hey, how about that arrogant bastard dude? That's one of them IPAs. And then it, like, you know, burns the you know, the skin off their tongue.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think they'll be able to take the hit a little better. So
good.
Hey,
we'll
guys,
see.
Let me interject something here.
Please do.
All these comments that you're making, they all apply. Except for the guys at Anheuser-Busch, who will be speaking at the World Brewers Forum. And Big Foamy Head has been asked to podcast from the World Brewers Forum at the GABF. That's Thursday night at 8 o'clock. And speakers will be Steve Presley, Senior Assistant Brewmaster for Anheuser-Busch.
Wow.
Greg Cook, CEO and co-founder of Stone Brewing Company. And Tony Simmons, President and Head Brewer of Pagosa Brewing Company.
Okay.
Pagosa Springs, Colorado.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, and I, you know, it's just our way, right? Where everybody in craft beer is going to bitch slap, you know, Bush and Miller and Coors. I mean, it's what we do. But you got to give them credit for trying. They recognize it because 10 years ago, none of this was going on, right?
Well, you know, with all the bad times and the beer prices going up and everything that's happening in the craft beer market, they said that craft beer was up 0.3% over last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's not due to price increase. That's unit sales.
Mm.
So, Craft beer is growing. Now, not at probably the rate they'd like it to, but it is growing.
Well, I think it's something, and I think I mentioned this a show or two ago about some of these guys that I know, and I go over and they were like cooking out, and I stopped by a friend's house, and they said, "Hey, have you tried this Bud Light with lime?"
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. And I tried it, and I said, "Wow, this is a really good lime flavored malt beverage, but it's not beer. It's a lime flavored malt beverage." So, yeah. But the thing was, I mean, we're not gonna, you know, piss
so
around
really
about
not a,
whether
it's not
a
beer.
Well, it's Bud Light with lime. Call it whatever you want, right?
Right.
But
they're
it was
calling it BL lime, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're dropping the Bud Light. It's BL.
Yeah. BL. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, it was a tasty beverage on a hot summer day while you're outside cooking out. Now, whether it was lime flavored Stone IPA or lime flavored Bud Light, it was something with a little bit more taste. So I got to give them that, to your point, Rick, and because we got to play nice with them.
Well, you know, hats off to Bud too for trying new things and trying to get it right. And, you know, they're working hard at it.
And they do have to appeal.
Those guys know how to brew beer consistently, mm-hmm. and they've got the quality assurance down, mm-hmm. and they probably have, you know, the greatest appeal to the greatest number of people. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're not bitches.
They definitely got the coolest commercials on TV.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, I'm happy for them to do that, and I still think it's going to be a gateway, and I think it can only serve the greater good. Mm-hmm. I think it's only going to help. And if it increases their, you know, keeps them in business and diversify, yeah, good for them. Good for them. Good for them.
I got to say, I really like the Clydesdale commercial where they're pulling the horse goes into training and he starts pulling the train at the end, you know?
Yeah that's cool.
Mike's showing me this nuns in mini skirts with their ass cheeks hanging out.
They're actually sitting on bar stools.
Oh,
that are
okay.
Dressed,
that's,
are, that,
oh, those are bar stools.
Yeah.
That's great.
Isn't that cool?
Five nuns walked into a bar. Yeah, there's a special place in hell for people like that. So, speaking of taking something and making a more homogenous, more palatable for the masses version, I got a song, and I mentioned this to y'all before we started. You know, we've just come off now a week out from Elvis Dead Week, and our friend of the show, Joe Galea, was
actually
here.
Actually, Elvis Death Week.
Elvis Death Week?
Yeah.
Whatever, man. You know where I live. But we...
Rick, turn the lights back on.
He's back. There
okay,
he is.
Okay, there he is.
The webcam shorted out for a minute there. Yeah. I'm going to fire up the generator again. But we're just out of Elvis Dead Week. All these people were here. I got some real interesting photos of the masses who attended Elvis Dead Week. But I got this song that I'm going to play here. And this is the original Hound Dog. Okay? It was sang in 1953.
Nothing but.
Look at that. He's showing us his foam. The Elvis.
I got a foam too.
Elvis had a huge hit with Hound Dog, but you got to look back at the history of it to appreciate where it came from. Mm-hmm. Big Mama Thornton recorded this in 1953. It charted, it went to the top of the charts. Then it went away. Elvis recorded it, and later, and I believe it was 57, 58. Released Hound Dog. But here's what you don't know. Okay, some people know, oh yeah, that was a cover of Big Mama Thornton. Here's what you don't know. Big Mama Thornton recorded it. It's completely different. So the Elvis lyrics, everybody knows them. You ain't nothing but a hound dog crying mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, they changed the lyrics. That's not what it says. So you got to listen to the Big Mama Thornton version. But here's the weird historical thing mm-hmm. behind it. Elvis wants to record a song. He says, I like this Big Mama Thornton song. Jerry Lieber and Stoller, the songwriting team, mm-hmm. says, well, we'll massage it around with something a little more commercial. So they go and they work on it, mm-hmm. and they get one that Elvis can sing. Elvis cuts the record. We're gonna release this. Mike Stoller leaves on his honeymoon, and he goes to Italy. Mike Stoller starts coming back from Italy. His honeymoon's over. He's got this hound dog. He's wondering how it is. So he gets on this cruise line to come back. This cool-looking ship named the Andrea Doria.
Oh, man.
Which the Andrea Doria gets sunk. Right, and it's sunk off of
that almost started World War II, right?
Yeah. That the one the German
Well, no, it was sunk and it's sinking down. And anyway, out of 1,500 people, 50 people were saved, and Mike Stoller was one of them.
Wow!
Now, as he's coming,
lucky,
as he's getting off the lifeboat, mm-hmm. Jerry Lieber is on the docks waiting for him, and instead of running up to say, Mike, I'm so glad you're alive. I'm so glad you made it. Oh, no. He goes up and he says, Mike, guess what? Hound Dog is in the top 10. Oh, sorry about your boat, bitch.
Yeah. Well, hell, he could see he was alive. I mean, no big deal there, right?
But I thought that's so cool. It's like four or five years later and all this crazy history. All right. So here's anyway. This is the original. And you got to listen to this because this is just downright nasty. If you listen to the lyrics, Big Mama Thornton, Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around my door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping around my door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more. You told me you was high.
So that was a little, hell no. That was a Big Mama Thornton.
Yeah, Big Mama.
And during the break, we were like looking up, saying, oh, that's a rocking little tune, you know? And you got, I love that, the lyrics. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. I'm snooping around my door. Don't even wag your tail, but I ain't going to feed you no more.
Yep.
If you can't figure out what she's saying, you better sign up with the monastery.
She says, you ain't getting my pooning in it no more.
You wag your tail all you want. And I tell you what, that's why Lieber and Stoller had to rewrite that because that was just too nasty.
Yeah. What was the year on that?
1953.
Wow.
God, can you imagine? 1953? I mean, that's, I mean, That's a little cerebral. Yeah. But
here's that the Andrea Doria got sunk by the Germans, right? And started the war.
That's right. I believe they used their satellites to sink the Andrea Doria.
Yeah, but when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, did they give up?
That's right. Did we give up when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no.
Oh, mercy.
Obscure Animal House reference there. Now, but we were
obscure at all.
We pulled up and got us a YouTube of Big Mama Thornton, and she was no small woman.
No, she was a lot of love, man. Damn, lot of love.
She could rock it, though. She was.
I think that's where the was that the Stones? Whole Lot of No, it was Led Zeppelin. Whole Lot of Love. I think they named it after her.
Yeah. When she sat around the house, she sat around the house.
Brum bum. Hey, we'll be here two shows nightly.
Remember, the more you drink, the better we sound.
Yeah.
So, Rick, what are you drinking? Hey, Grandpa, what's for drinking?
This is fantastic. It's the Stone Bitter Chocolate Oatmeal Stout, the 12th anniversary brew. It's got a really nice smoky character. So
you're like slouching like back, and you're slouching back in the chair.
I know,
it's kind of like you're having your after sex beer. You know,
he's like doing like that Maxell tape commercial. He's like leaning back, letting it all blow through him.
It's his after sex beer. You know, some people smoke. He drinks a beer.
Nah, it's a good looking beer. Pitch black.
Get some of this. It's darkest tar. It's got a really real brown, tan head, just a real strong smoke character. I'm not tasting a lot of chocolate, but this is a fantastic stout.
Well, a bitter chocolate, it wouldn't really be a sweet beer, but are you getting like the typical roasty and so forth? And
a little coffee?
Right. Roasty, toasted, the melanoidins, certainly. Coffee, not so much, no.
Good. Well,
what are you drinking?
We on this side of the fence are drinking the Left Hand Imperial Stout, and it's got a nose.
And it does.
It smells good. It's got a roasty, toasty nose. And,
I said a while ago, it reminds me of a Nestle's Quick chocolate milk.
It did. It had a little more chocolate in the nose and a little bit in the taste, too. Yeah. It does have that kind of milky sweet. This is... unlike yours, I think this particular Imperial Stout is going towards the sweeter. And I got the marketing splooge. It says, a traditional unfiltered Russian Imperial Stout, a smooth, warming stout with hints of raisins, black licorice, coffee, and dark chocolate. A variety of intensely roasted malts and the aggressive use of hops temper the pleasant sweetness of the beer. Try pouring this bad boy over vanilla ice cream.
Ooh, I bet that'd go good.
ABV, 9.16%. IBUs, a slight 65. And Plato of 22, the malts, premium, pale two-row, Munich crystal chocolate, roasted barley. Isn't it all roasted barley? Black barley and flaked oats give it that smooth taste, a little body. Hops, Magnum and Goldings. So kind of noble, light hops, right? And we got the 750 caged cork. And this is a tasty beverage.
Very good.
I
like it.
If you're going to read marketing splooge, I want to read mine.
How about it?
This is from Mitch Steele, the head brewer at Stone. Stone 12th Anniversary Bitter Chocolate Oatmeal Stout. This beer pours deep black with a rich brown head of foam. The aroma is dominated by roast malt and cocoa. Upon tasting the cocoa, we used unsweetened, unprocessed cocoa sourced through our friends at Chihuahua Chocolatier.
Who?
Really comes through.
Chihuahua? A little piece of Chihuahua in every bottle?
Are you going to Taco Bell?
Chuao.
Yo quiero bitter stout. Go ahead, Rick. Chihuahua. Sorry.
Sorry, man. We're having fun at your expense.
Chuao, okay. Really comes through with deep chocolate flavor and a long-lasting bitter finish. The roasted grains used add coffee and licorice accents. It's a thick beer but not sweet, with the addition of oatmeal and the mash. providing a rich, silky mouthfeel that adds to the creamy texture. 9.2 alcohol by volume.
Yeah. Now, that's, you know, same thing on this one. We've got oats added to ours. And it's definitely, I mean, it's not syrupy.
Mm-hmm.
But you tell me, Mike. I mean, when you drink it, you can feel this going down.
It's a real thick beer,
but not overwhelmingly.
No,
it's not chocolate syrup.
It finishes,
it's got a good mouthfeel.
Yeah,
to it,
it
right?
finishes pretty good, and it is. It's not just real wet. It's kind of dry.
Yeah,
it's got
yeah.
a semi-dry finish, not a real dry finish, but it's kind of somewhere in mm-hmm. between.
And Rick, what is yours? Can you get the mouthfeel from the oats in there? Is it like kind of silky, smooth going down?
It is. It's very creamy. And Mike, this has the same hops you were talking about, the Attenum, and it's got Summit, Willamette, and Galena.
Okay, so somebody out there who speaks English is going to have to tell us how to pronounce this, because we all from here.
Yeah. We don't speak very good around here.
But, man, this is tasty. You know, there's this word that I've read, and I know it's not really applicable to stouts. You read this in the BJCP, the guidelines for beer, and they're really talking about more lighter beers where they use the word grainy. And I'm getting a little bit of grain and roast at the end. So, like,
are you talking
said,
taste or feel?
The finish. The taste, mm-hmm. like you said, it's dry, but it's like you, I swear I eat this stuff in the morning called cashy,
mm-hmm.
which is a blend of nuts and grains.
Uh-huh.
This is the same kind of aftertaste.
Huh.
It's got a nice little grainy, I mean, it's a good, I'm not saying it's bad, it's very good. Very toasted grain aftertaste. I love it. This is a very tasty beer. Left Hand Brewing Company, and Rick, you were talking about Deschutes is hit and miss with you. Left Hand has been that way with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are bigger beers that they really go more crafty on, a lot better.
Now, you like their milk stout, right?
See, I'm just okay with Left Hand's milk stout.
Well,
I mean, that's not the one that turns me on.
Well, that's cool.
Well, it's because it's rare around here. Every time I go to Flying Saucer, they're out of it. So, you know, it's like anything. It might be shit if you had it every day.
Yeah.
But around here, it's like hen's teeth. You know, you can't hardly find it.
Sounds like you were getting your groove on with that one while ago.
I was loving it. It was rocking me just a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's why Fat Tire is so popular. It was hard to get.
Yeah.
And now it's half of a... their distribution.
Hey, man,
that's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. I can remember the law busting people in West Memphis every day with truckloads of Coors being imported into Tennessee illegally because you couldn't get it. Hmm? That's why people wanted it.
You'd
they
have to go over to West Memphis and truck it back in the trunk of your car, and all the urban legends about people getting arrested and it's because scarcity.
Yeah.
Makes things more valuable. It don't matter if it actually tastes like shit.
That's
nobody's
right.
going to know, right?
Yeah. I got a Coors. It's illegal in Tennessee.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're bad. So,
hey, Mike, I got a... I was trying to remember your wet prostitutes joke the other day about them swimming in the Mississippi. Do you remember that joke?
Prostitutes? No, I don't.
You told a long time ago.
Was that me?
All right. I knew that would be a joke killer. All right.
Well,
fine.
Little editing to do there.
Way to take us off topic. But since you brought up prostitutes.
Pints for prostates?
Yes.
And we need to...
We got to throw a whole hell of a lot of love to our dear friends, Groucho and Chud, at the Beer Report. And if you haven't been to the Beer Report, you got to go to thebeerreport.com. And not only are they... Just magnanimous people, wonderful human beings, and they know a beer or two.
Mm-hmm.
They were dumb as shit about 2 years ago, but they're a lot better now. But they have stepped up. They have set the bar and have donated to Pints for Prostates, and I have got to commend them. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another to do it.
To do it.
And so I will be honest. we've promoted it, and we've had our emails going around going, and, yeah. and Rick sent it. He said, look, they're calling mm-hmm. our bluff. We got to done it.
Well, it's okay. time for us to step up.
It is. And so I guarantee you the next show, I would tell you now, and I meant to do it earlier, but I guarantee you the next show, we're going to blow their ass away. We're going to donate far more than the Beer Report, who we love dearly, much love to Groucho and Chud and Phil.
Or any other podcast
hey,
out
Phil,
there,
Phil,
huh?
Fuck him. You know, we love Phil, right? But not like, I mean.
Not like Groucho and Chud.
Not like Groucho and Chud. I got a sticker on the wall. It says WWCD. What
yes, it does.
Would Chud do? I don't have one from Phil.
No.
What would my life as a 50 do? No, Phil doesn't even have bumper stickers.
No, that's correct.
No, this is we're throwing all the love to the Beer Report this time, mainly because they whined they weren't getting any.
Hey, the squeaky wheel always gets the grease.
That's the golden rule, isn't it?
Amen, brother.
Now, Groucho and Chud have been good friends of ours for a long time, so they've
yes,
been in
they
this
have.
Podcasting thing as long as we have.
Absolutely. And they really have. They've got a lot of videos, too.
Yeah.
So, you really, if you haven't been to the Beer Report, check them out, as well as all of the other fine podcasts on Beer Safari. Yeah. BeerSafari.com.
Is, full of beer out there.
That's right.
Say that again. You kind of blah, 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 blah.
It's a jungle of beer out there.
Perfect.
Is that the beer or is it Skype?
I think it was Skype.
We may never know. Yeah. It could be a little of both. We are so damn high tech here. We got Rick like sitting at the end of the table, although he's like max headroom. He's in a monitor.
Yeah, it is max headroom. That's a great way to put that. I love that.
It's like it's just surreal. It's yeah. like he's sitting right there at the end of the table. We've just gotten way too technical now. So yeah, and he's enjoying his
WD-40,
the bittersweet, yep. And we've got our left-hand milk stout, and we got another cool beer coming up. This is one that'll gonna take us back, and we're about to enter the infamous third segment. Rick's gonna have some beer haiku, and we're going to just continue down this road of bitter and sweet. And I got another big
one. I'm gonna relax. And let you guys have a third one because you're sharing, but I'm just going to enjoy the two I've got.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, you still got some left, though. We've got, I got another Big Mama Thornton, and this is one that, now she didn't, this isn't her song. No one really knows where this song came from, but I'll tell you the key thing about this. The term rock and roll came mm-hmm. from this very song. And this is the song called Rock Me.
Oh.
And this is traces its roots back to the 30s, right? Where it evolved. It's an old blues standard. It's called Rock Me. And if you listen to it, and you damn well better listen to it.
Wasn't there a hair band that did Rock Me? Or
everybody's done Rock Me. Yeah. Rock Me, baby, like my back ain't yeah. got no bone. Roll me, baby. Like a wagon wheel. And if you can't figure out that's about screwing and turning her over. And
I thought it was about playing golf.
Going at it. Going at it. Mac Daddy style. Come on. I mean, this is goes way back. This is all
blues. It's kind of like when the two dogs get locked up and they're facing the other way.
Oh, man. That's embarrassing. You get
that
stuck
is
that
embarrassing,
way. You gotta go
man.
To the hospital.
Hey man, I gotta tell a little story. We're doing a little field trip with the kids at school, and it was when my son was in the like second grade or third grade maybe, and we're up there at Dyersburg around Realfoot Lake, you know, looking at the eagles and all that, and we're going on this little nature walk. They had a little walkway out into the swamp area, and we're kind of walking around. Then when we get back up toward the land after we're done, there's two dogs, and they were getting it on, right? And then the teachers were kind of shooing the kids away the other direction. And about that time, it scared the dogs, so they tried to split. Well, they were locked up, butt to butt. And then, you
it
know.
It wasn't their butt.
You know, and the kids were like, look, look, look. They're rubbing their butt. That was funny.
No, children, that's called screwing. All right, so we're going to let Big Mama instruct us in the fine art of how to rock me, baby.
Rock me, babe. If you rock me all night long, rock me, baby. Honey, rock me all night long. Why'd you rock me, pretty baby? Just like my back ain't got no bone all night long. Roll me. Honey, like you do a wagon wheel. Roll me. Like it do a wagon wheel. I want you to rock and roll me. You don't know how good you make me feel all night. Good and make me feel. Oh, go ahead, Johnny. Take your time, rock me.
me slow. I want you to rock me, pretty babe, till I, sure enough, until I, sure enough, and right now, till I, oh, shucks.
So that was a little rock me, baby.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like
too.
My back ain't got no bone. And if you had never heard of that before, where the hell have you been? That's like classic rock gut bucket blues. I mean, that's down and dirty, and that's just fucking nasty.
But you know, if people aren't listening to blues music, they are missing out on a lot.
You're missing out on the history.
Yeah, you are.
So that's some cool music. And everybody and their brother, I was pulling up, and it's like Albert Cummings. Everybody's covered it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a classic blues tune. And the weirdness about a lot of blues music, nobody knows where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of happened, right?
Well, I'll tell you, if people will listen to the words and kind of get into the groove of the song and listen to the words and really listen to the words of the song.
Yeah,
I think non-blues listeners will become blues listeners.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, all right, you're listening to, there's this song out, and I said something to my wife the other day. She said, oh, that's just nasty. And I think it was the song Dangerous by...
Michael George?
No, right. Shit, I forget his name. Cardinal Rasputin or something, and the rapper Akon. And they use this line, listen to my black snake moan.
Huh.
And or something like that. And then she said, they're talking about his male parts. I said, no. Well, yeah.
You can say penis.
I said, yeah, but. I'm telling you what she said. But I said, yeah, but they're actually using a blues reference, Black Snake Moan. So all this shit evolves, and even these dumb shit rappers, they don't even know it. They just like, Black Snake. So that's rock and roll. The words rock and roll came from that very song. Rock and roll. Rock me, baby, like my back ain't got no bone. Man, that's talking about screwing. Yeah. That's all it's talking about, and that's what rock and roll is talking about. That's the whole point behind all of it. So you ain't figured that out.
That's why in that movie Footloose, the preacher didn't want them to rock and roll.
No. Okay, so we cracked open our third beer, and Rick's going light on us because he's drinking
alone. I'm chillaxing with my two bombers.
There you go. And we have popped open a very special, interesting beer. And this is a Le Coq Imperial Extra Double Stout. And that sounds like a mouthful, and it is. It says here from Garrett Oliver of the Brewmaster's Table. And is Garrett Oliver not the brewmaster for Brooklyn Brewery?
Brooklyn, exactly.
Well, Garrett says, Le Coq Imperial Extra Double Stout is a towering achievement on the same level as a great old Barolo or vintage port. It makes a mind-boggling match with venison and sour cherry sauce and is a fine accomplishment to game sausages, particularly wild boar. As for cigars, only the finest, strongest Cubans will do, unless you have an Arturo Fuente Opus X.
In that case, what I smoke all the time.
In that case, I'll be right over. Yeah, so yeah, Mike is all about the Arturo Fuente Opus X or a pack of Newport Miles.
Cool Filter
or
Kings.
Cool Filter Kings.
Whatever's handy.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but really, I took a whiff of this, and you know, did you finish yours off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so this is the nose on this is like wine.
It smells like bourbon and, or whiskey.
Yeah,
or
it's like it's something aged and fermented. And I want to point out, this extra double stout, Imperial extra double stout we're drinking, and on the label, you got to see this. And Rick, I know you can't really read this, but you see, though, it has Drop English it around the label,
uh-huh.
and on the inner circle, it's Russian.
Mm,
yeah.
Nice. Oh, I didn't notice that.
There is a reason for this, that the style, Imperial Russian Stout, and the name Albert Lecoq are synonymous. In the early 1800s, the Belgian A. Lecoq exported Imperial Stout from England to Russia and the Baltic area. After the import traffics increased dramatically in the early 1900s, A. Lecoq was invited by the Tsarist government to brew his legendary Imperial Extra Double Stout within the Russian Empire. This guy was so good, he was invited to come to Russia. In 1912, the first Imperial Extra Double Stout left the brewery in Tartu, the former province of Livonia, now known, as everybody knows, Estonia. The Russian Revolution and World War I, however, brought a dramatic end to Lecoq's venture. His brewery was nationalized by the Bolshevik government in 1917 and production ceased. The original recipe on each bottle of Imperial Extra Double Stout pay homage to A. Lecoq, without whom this classic style would never have reached its legendary place in the world of beers. So we're drinking the granddaddy of Imperial Stouts. And this is the 2000 vintage. We have 8-year-old beer in our glasses. And the nose, my God, is like
it's
wine.
It's different, isn't it? I don't mm-hmm. think I've ever had one like this.
Mm. And it's when you drink it, it ain't like stout. It's not like what we've had.
One can only hope that the new Belgian beer, BL Lime, will make it to Russia, too.
The Bud Light with Lime.
As I almost spit beer all over my laptop here.
Now, this is, and you tried it, and I'm looking at, there is no lacing, but there's an oil slick. There's
yeah.
a residue on this. This is some thick, rich.
It is thick.
It's like drinking wine. It's
yeah.
very, very thick. And I'm looking
no head.
No
it
head to speak
it didn't
of.
Pour the head.
And it is a very thick, deep flavored beer.
It's a flat.
It is.
Kind of a flat beer.
It is. It's like drinking yeah. wine. There's no carbonation at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, after 8 years, right?
Yeah.
But it is. It's very wine-like, and it's different. It's different. I'm going to say this is if I did not know this was a beer, I would think this is some kind of port or something.
Yeah.
It's very,
very
deep.
Possible. Yeah, and it comes in at what, 9%? 9% alcohol?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 9% yeah. Alcohol. And it's just different. So, you know, we talked about beers and how they age and so forth. And this is definitely aged a little different, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, you expect, I guess, the carbonation to go flat after a while. So this is one of those that you brought this back from Knoxville, right?
I think it was Knoxville. And I noticed on the ring of the neck, it's got a label and it says store at 50 to 56. Well, you know, it's no telling how long it was running around in a warehouse or running on a truck and then at a liquor store for, you know, what, 70, 80 degrees or whatever, so... I think it's held up well. What do you think?
No, it's really for 8-year-old beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it has kind of, and this is the thing though that I was saying, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending on where you drink it, so Rick, you were drinking, was it 12th anniversary, the bitter chocolate?
Yeah. Yes.
If you cellar that for 8 years.
Not what me, I drink it.
Yeah, but what would you get though? At the end,
how much different do you think?
I mean, we've had verticals before that have been several years old.
Yeah, we need someone to invite us to the 12-12-12 vertical from Stone, and we can really tell how the beer ages.
That would be lovely.
Did I tell you guys that I went to a 10-year vertical of Bigfoot?
I saw your pictures that you sent. That was on your camping trip, right?
Yeah, that was so freaking amazing. I mean, just to go through 10 years of Bigfoot, Sierra Nevada, that was wonderful. So that was thanks to Mr. Scott Jackson.
Man, yeah, that had to be awesome. What was the progression that you saw in the flavor?
Some did not hold up well. You know, Bigfoot, they did twist off caps for the majority of the years. I think it's just recently that they went with the regular pop tops. So,
okay.
I'm typing.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. He's typing me.
Fill the time.
Well, hey, that gives me a time to do something that I saw on Modern Drunkard magazine. This is the secret language of cocktails. And it says your cocktail says something about you.
And this is part of Mike's new series, right?
Yeah, my new series. What's on the net?
What's on the net?
What's
on the net?
Dun, 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 dun. There were some great drinks here. A Jaeger Bomb, okay? Now, if you're in a bar and you've got a Jaeger, you're getting ready to drink a Jaeger Bomb, everybody's going to know this about you. High school was the best 6 years of your life. Okay, now here's another one. Long Island Iced Tea. No matter how old you are, at some level, you're still afraid of what... Oh, I'm sorry, I blew that up. You're still afraid your parents are going to catch you drinking. Isn't that cool? And then Margarita, all of your relationships have either begun or ended at a wet T-shirt contest.
That's funny.
And you can get all that info out there and much more on moderndrunkardmagazine.com, I believe is how you pronounce that.
So. Yep. All right, so Mike's going to bring us every week a new website for you to piss away countless hours of your company's time on.
Exactly.
Dick, you were talking about a cereal that you were eating. It kind of reminded me of the Saturday Night Live skit on Colon Blow. Did you ever see that?
Colon Blow.
Yeah. The cashew. But I love the cashew. It's good stuff.
Cashew is colon blow.
Yeah, it is. It will ream your ass out.
Uh-oh.
There's nothing in my colon after I have a good cashew. It's like Roto-Rooter for your bowels.
Roto-Rooter.
That's the name.
Wash your troubles down the drain.
Roto-Rooter. Okay, and that was a musical segment of Big Foamy Head. Obviously, it's the beer talking.
It's time for class and culture.
Yay! Okay,
cue the music.
All right, Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah,
I hear you great.
And take two.
Cue the music.
It's time for Big Foamy Head Interpretive Dance Theater.
Cue the goddamn music! I'm sorry, I just had to do that.
This one's from Dick Pepper, and it's
not
it. Coming to you, it says, beer is like wisdom. It is wasted on the young, and it is soon gone.
Well,
beer haiku.
Class, culture. And I will take the credit, although I will say that I ripped that off directly. I was just Skyping messaging you from beerhaikudeli.com by dear friend of show, Captain Hobbs. And visit beerhaikudeli.com for all your beer haiku needs. Now, that wasn't from me. I stole it. That was Captain Hobbs. No, wait. Actually, I'm wrong. Written by Dave Undis. Yeah, go boy.
You go boy.
All right, so we managed to fuck up beer haiku.
You want to do it over?
And let's see. Obviously, the beer is significantly talking. Our wine beer is taking hold of us. So now that we're like damn near worthless to anybody, it's time to discuss current events. And what could be more current than the Olympics. Yay.
Go USA. I've been 3 weeks now. I'm tired.
I've been watching it too. And I got to tell you, you know, I love me some Olympics. And I watched yesterday. We were out to eat. And we're at a Chinese restaurant. And this is the oddest thing. It's a you heard me say, Chinese restaurant, yes. Right? So, the Olympics are being hosted in Beijing. We had gone there the week before. And
I don't see the connection, Dick.
They're in China.
Okay.
So we're in the Chinese restaurant the week before. We love the place, Red Sun in Collierville, Tennessee, outside of Africa, or as we refer to it, God's country. And we're watching this, and it was like the whole restaurant was like glued on the widescreen TVs that they, for whatever the hell reason, have this Chinese restaurant. And it was kind of cool. You know, we were like watching the U.S. and China compete, and there are representatives of both those countries in this very restaurant. And it was very nice. So, you know, we were all like, oh, look at that. Yeah, they got, you know, no, nothing. No conflict, no nothing. Everybody's happy for everybody. Yeah, they won. All right, so here it is. Yesterday, and we're in there, and we were watching the finale of the men's marathon, which is, of course, something close to my heart, you know, because I like the marathon.
Yeah.
And my wife was watching. Oh, look. And this guy comes in, and he is hauling ass. I am not kidding you. And I look at him and say, oh, shit, man. I don't know where he is, but it was like 2:04 when I saw him. 2 hours, 4 minutes of shit. Like, I think the record's like 2:09 or something.
This guy, an Ethiopian.
No, he's a Kenyan.
Kenyan. Okay.
He's hauling ass. And that was the thing, though. My wife said, where is he from? I can't tell. I said, well, odds are he's from Kenya. Them sons of bitches can run. And sure enough, they zoom in and says, Kenya. Biggest lie. I said, yeah, what'd I tell you? And he is hauling ass. And the next thing you know, he's entering the arena. And this guy picks up speed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how fast you've gone on a treadmill, but most of us run between 4 and 6 miles an hour, right? Mm-hmm. On a little treadmill, you sat there, right? So yeah. Just to kind of give you a context, a frame of reference, if you will, if you set it to 10 miles an hour, you're running a 6-minute mile. This guy's running a 5:30, 5:40.
Wow.
He's running 11 or 12 miles per hour. He is hauling ass. And this is at mile 26.
Man.
He's been hauling ass for 26 miles.
Unreal.
And I don't know if it's a world record, but he crossed the finish line at 2:06 something. And that was just surreal.
Man.
That is one half the time of the best marathon I've ever run in my entire life.
Man, that's flying.
That's flying.
I know.
I can't even. If I was running downhill with a pack of wild dogs chasing my ass, I'd be hard pressed to hit that speed once.
If you were rolling downhill.
If I was rolling downhill, much less if I had to sustain it, right?
Yeah.
So this guy's flying. And he wins, and of course the Americans do place later on. They're like 6, 7, something like that. So it's very cool watching the Olympics and watching them place. I didn't see China anywhere in there, but
they got two short legs.
We were talking about the controversy, and there's been a couple of controversies. The women's gymnastics, which is second only to Rick's favorite women's volleyball.
Hey, we won women's volleyball.
We got the gold, baby.
Oh, shit, that was surreal.
Hey, we won it in women's basketball and men's basketball, too.
But we've been talking about women's volleyball on the last few shows, and I tell you what, man, that Misty May trainer and other chickie.
Carrie Walsh.
They're phenomenal. I mean, I've watched them play.
I thought it was amazing because, I guess amazing is a weird word, but... when I was listening to the reporters or the new the announcers, when they were after the event was over, they said that they wanted to both have babies.
Yeah,
they wanted that.
Yeah.
Now, once their Olympic career is over, they wanted to go have babies. But it sounded like they wanted to have babies together.
Yeah, they want to do everything together.
But they're both married, you know, to men.
But I think the Carrie Walsh show, she wants to continue. The other one, I forget which one. One of them wants to stop.
Yeah.
She's done.
They want to make babies.
They want to have a family.
Yeah. They're coming up, and then they want to get pregnant.
Yeah. And they seem to have it all scoped out.
The way
right?
the announcer worded it, it sounded like they wanted to go off and have babies together. Yeah. That's the way it kind of sounded. You know?
I watched them play, and I was watching them play against Brazil, and I tell you what, those two girls are the hardest working girls in volleyball today. They will throw themselves at anything. And I was thinking, man, I'd love to see them take on nine guys on the other side. And I know they'd whip their ass.
They're good
soundly.
At what they do.
They're real good. And they're like communicating the whole time.
Yeah.
They're really good, and they're
you know how girls are. After a while, they sync up. You know, they're pretty good.
Well, they were like one entity. Rex,
I was waiting for you to say take on nine guys. Like you said on the other side.
I wasn't thinking about that. But
he's talking about playing volleyball. Get your mind out of the damn
now
gutter.
Now that you mention it, all right. The other thing, the women's gymnastics, the tie with China and U.S. And that apparently is a bit of controversy. Exact same score, but the U.S. got silver. Yeah, bullshit. And then you know what the next thing is?
Well, you know
Chickie, why. Chickie who won? They've got 14. All these 14 years old.
I know.
According to previous registrations. And they're saying, well, if the Olympic Committee doesn't address it, there's nothing we can do. It's like, well, look at her. Like, she's like tiny. She's like, looks like she's 10
years old.
She's a baby. And so, you know, good for her.
And the dingo didn't eat her.
But I didn't know. And my wife had said, well, don't you have to be 16 to compete? And I said,
yeah.
How the fuck would I know?
You're supposed to.
But it's like, well, they're raising up all this shit. It's like, well, this is like, well, did she beat her or not?
Let me tell you something. What all this is about is money. That's all it is. It's money. It all comes down to the Benjamins.
All right, how's it money?
China and America. China and America.
Who's getting money?
We don't want to kick their ass and make them look bad.
But who's getting money?
We do so much business with China. We can't kick their ass. Okay.
Well, dude,
we're trying to be nice.
They got more gold than we do. They got a lot more gold.
Yeah, they really are.
But we have more medals.
Is it home team advantage?
They don't have
37 gold medals in table tennis.
They don't have that many more gold medals. I mean, when you look at, we could, especially after today, because we won the basketball men and basketball women yesterday, so it gives us two more gold. So, I mean, we're right in there with them, but we just don't want to put an ass whooping on them because they're the home team.
All right, unless we forget, you're hearing all this like after the Olympics are over, right? So, all right, so it's kind of, I love watching the Olympics because theoretically politics are set aside and it's the pure competition, right?
Yeah, right.
And I think for the most part it is. And, these little girls from China, if they're competing.
Go back several Olympic events and look at all the fuckings that America got from the judging. And it's all about parity and keeping it even and equal.
All right. Well, let's take that up to the one major clusterfuck of the Olympics, softball.
Yeah.
Okay? So softball, well, we're going to discontinue softball, and they're talking about baseball, too, as an Olympic sport. Why? Because the U.S. women's softball team has won 56 times.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking, okay, so we've kicked ass every single time. Well, what about the silver and the bronze?
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't always been the same. What about these other? Okay, here's your goal. Beat the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about table tennis? That's all Chinese all the time. You know?
No shit. I mean, they rule that, right? So it's like,
we don't play ping pong.
Just because we breed good softball players. They breed good tennis players.
I don't want to get into race or anything like that, but I would notice that I don't think we had a white guy on the basketball team.
Well, you're talking about Team USA?
Yeah, but we're representing USA with
an all-black
basketball team.
I saw, which is fine.
I'm glad we won the deal.
But they're our guys.
Yeah, they're our guys.
They're our guys.
Yeah.
I don't give a rat's ass what
they
color
had,
they are.
They had Gasol, who's a Memphis, or was a Memphis Grizzly. Now
playing on Spain.
Now in L.A. Lakers, playing on Spain.
Playing on Spain.
And his brother, who is a Memphis Grizzly, is playing on Spain.
Yeah.
Mark Gasol.
Good for them.
So
good for them.
But, you know, it's just, it seemed kind of weird. There weren't any white guys on the USA team.
Yeah, but you know what? I honestly don't care. I don't care. They're still our guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Kobe Bryant, I mean, who the fuck else is he going to play for, right?
Yeah.
He's American. I mean, through and through, you know. He's one of our darker Americans. Good. We got all kinds of shades here, you know.
Yes, we do.
I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Rick's evidently taking a piss break. I'm looking over at the webcam as an empty chair.
But what would you say is the percentage of blacks in America?
18%.
Okay, then should we have 18% black?
No, because you're talking about an area of specialization.
Okay.
And if you look at the – and here's the thing, though. If you look at lacrosse or field hockey, mm-hmm. should we have an equal amount of black people? No. Shit, no. Go to where you're good at.
Yeah.
Soccer, basketball, football, beach, volleyball,
mm-hmm.
whatever, man. Do whatever you want to. And I think skin color and religious –
Yeah, I guess the blacks might be pissed off because of the two girls are all white on the –
Man, go with what you're good at. I don't think you should bring color into it.
Yeah.
You know, it just so happens that at this point in time, those of the darker skin color, period, mm-hmm. are better at basketball. That could change.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, look, if we look 20 years into the future, who knows what color skin pigment somebody might be. With beach volleyball or with field hockey or rollerblading or what?
And I'm okay with that. Go with the best. But what I'm getting at is I think there were some really good other people out there that probably could have been on the team that weren't
on Team USA?
Yeah. I mean, Steve Nash and several of those guys. I mean,
well, I got to confess.
You got Jason Williams, Steve Nash. I mean, there's a lot of other good ones.
I don't know who decided it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who picked the team.
So here we are demonstrating our dumbass ignorance of how the team's picked. But really, honestly,
I think the coach Krzyzewski from Duke, the college coach, he was their coach.
Oh, he was the Olympic coach?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess we'd have to look to the coach.
Yeah.
He's the one making the pick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and what flavor coach is he?
I believe he's white.
It's white.
All right, then. So he's going with the best man.
Mm-hmm.
Collared be damned. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
And good luck to him, because the thing is, at the end of the day, they're all American.
Amen.
Every single one. And this is where color and diversity, throw that shit out the door, go with mm-hmm. the best man for the job. And that's where I would say they did. Lest we look at, and I love this, the Olympic men's gymnastics team.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, the Ham brothers, Paul and dude, forget his name, that was a big thing on last Olympics. Paul Ham contesting about he got fucked out of his medal by the Korean dude or whatever. And
he got fucked out of his medal by the judges.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, yeah. But anyway, so Paul Hamm and his brother are coming back, right? Well, injury set in. Both the Hams gone. And now here's this.
It wasn't an injury.
Well, that's what they said.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I think it was more of a protest. Than a,
whatever. Yeah. You know, fuck them, feed them fish heads. They're gone. And so here you got these guys. And so who was the last guy on the team? Sasha, I forget his name. This is a kid from Russia, mm-hmm. adopted by American parents mm-hmm. and raised here. And I watched this guy. Now,
God bless those idiots.
Do what?
God bless those idiots.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Not like we know anybody.
No, I don't know anybody that's ever done that.
But now, you know, the thing is, though, this kid, and I'm watching him, the all around the team finals. And they got this kid, and I hate that I forget his name, but I know they call him Sasha. And Sasha was apparently either a genius or a total fuck-up. He would throw these crazy-ass moves, and if he hit it, it was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
But it was like almost 50-50.
They weren't expecting
up everything.
A lot out of him.
No. Mm-hmm. But he made it. He was a damn tail end. So here we go. We're coming down to the finals in the men's gymnastics, all around the team finals. And dude from, you know, here, supposed to be really good, fucks up. Next guy goes and does his thing, fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
They're dropping. They were in the gold,
Yeah.
Now they're down to the silver. Now they're dropped down to the bronze. One more fuck up. No metal. And the last guy is Sasha. Sasha's walking around, and I'm looking, and he's doing this Charlie Chaplin walk. His knees don't bend. He's scared shitless, and everybody can see. He's like walking the straight-legged, pacing back and forth, scared shitless on the pommel horse. And I watched all these dry-ass routines. Get up on the pommel horse, flip around, do your little spin around. Well, he gets up there, and Sasha gets up there, and it's time for him to do his routine. And the announcers are like scared shitless, and they're going like, man, this is where he screws up. And if you can just get through this, or get through this, the like apparently requirements. And the guy breaks through it, and all of a sudden just cuts loose, just going fucking nuts on the pommel horse, swinging around, spinning. It was just the most spectacular thing. It's like, why didn't any of these other assholes do that? And it's just like flying all over the damn thing, and just blows them all out of the water and secures the medal for the U.S. Good for him. The dark horse.
We'll give him the golf clap.
Good him. I mean, it was very, very inspirational.
That was a beer-fueled conversation right there.
Yes, it was.
I'm telling you.
It was really great. I mean, I really loved watching that, these Olympic moments. And, of course, lest we forget, Phelps.
Yep.
Bringing home eight.
Eight gold medals, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It don't get no better than that. Hadn't anybody ever done that?
I know. He won up Mark Spitz. Yeah. And they had Mark Spitz on there, and Mark Spitz is going like, well, yeah, hell yeah, I hope he does it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's been like 20 years. Come on.
Yeah, it's about time somebody break my damn record.
But I was looking at him, Christian, we're looking at him, like, look at that guy. I said, yeah, look at that guy. He's the same size as me. He's 10 pounds heavier.
Really?
He is. He's the exact same size as me, except I don't have double-jointed knees.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hey, by the way, Mike, there was a white player on the men's basketball team, but I can't find his name real quick. I was looking, but
I think you would be surprised to find he's not white.
White boys are representing. No, he was white.
Yeah, I don't care though. It doesn't bother me.
But anyway, go to the I lost my train of thought now. Duh! Wow.
And, of course, we're not saying this. It's just an observation, not a, oh, we should have had white people in there.
Well, it's just an observation. It just seemed kind of unusual because if you look at all the other sports.
Because Larry Bird's too damn old.
Well, I understand
only
that.
Only to you. I'm glad that Kobe Bryant was there representing the United States.
Yeah, I mean, he's near a convicted rapist. Okay.
Well, and Dwayne Wade, you know, that guy, he's rocking.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade. My son and I, we did watch the replay of the basketball game today, and it was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, Spain gave them a pretty good run for their money, but I just didn't have enough. I mean, when you look at 1 through 12, they got 12 players on the team, 1 through 12, it was either team, I mean, either guy could go in and there wouldn't be that much drop off in talent because the NBA is so superior. And when you look at, I think LeBron James got 4 fouls at one time in the third or right in the beginning of the fourth period, and Krzyzewski left him in there. And that's kind of unusual, but that just goes to show you that he had somebody sitting on the bench that could come in if LeBron James fouled out. And you know, there wouldn't be that much drop off in talent because I mean they were deep. And when you look at when you look at Spain, one of the times I think it was late in the third quarter, early in the first quarter. I mean, they had the ball was out of bounds and they were coming back, and all there was 4 of the Spain players. I tell you what you can do in a basketball. Look at the players' posture and what they're doing. They grab hold of their shorts, and they're leaning forward. And if they're leaning forward and grabbing hold of their shorts, that means they're gassed. They don't have any legs. And 4 of the 5 Spain players were grabbing hold of their shorts, leaning forward, and they just had nothing left. I mean, the Americans were so deep, switching players out, pushing them up and down the court, and wearing them out. Right there at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I told my son, I said, America's got this game. they're just going through the motions. They'll win it because Spain doesn't have anything left. But Spain reached down somehow and found a little momentum to kind of make it a close game. But other than that, it was America's game all the way, pretty much.
Like, you know, we go and look at this, and honestly, by the time you hear this, the Olympics are over.
Yeah. Tonight. And,
yeah. So, nice, you know, good games. Good to see that the people come together and participate just in all of the sports, all the politics, all the bullshit is set aside. All these athletes out there, they could give a rat's ass what country you're from, what color you are, what flavor you are.
Yeah, they're just competing.
They're just competing. And so that's a nice thing about the Olympics. And I think that's one of those understated messages that everybody really gets into when they watch.
Did you ever see any of the kayaking? Did y'all ever see any of that?
No.
That was.
What about Usain Bolt?
Oh, man, what a monster.
Yeah. That guy is amazing.
I know. He's a freak.
An animal. No, he's simply amazing.
Yeah.
He makes it seem simple.
I was impressed. And you know, he's from Jamaica, and then the woman that won it all was from Jamaica, too.
And
I can't remember her name.
All right, Dick, wrap us up, take us out of this.
All right, so let's recap the beers that we've had tonight. We started off, we had the Double Wide IPA.
It's twister proof.
It's twister proof. And, man, some citrus notes and very cool. And, Rick, you had the Hop Hinge.
Deschutes Hop Hinge Imperial IPA.
Very good stuff. And then we went to the from the bitter to the sweeter side, and we, on this side of the fence, we're enjoying the Left Hand Brewing Company Imperial Stout. Roasty, toasty, good stuff, good for you, too. And you were drinking?
I had the Stone's Bitter Chocolate Oatmeal Stout, thanks to Chud and Groucho, not Phil.
That's right. Fuck
yeah,
Phil.
Fuck Phil.
We love us some beer report.
Yeah. That Chud. Man. Yeah, what a podcaster. That Chud.
Whatever you do.
Groucho and Chud give us so many beers.
That's right. And whatever you do, do not visit our friend of show, Phil, at mylifeisafoodie.com.
No, don't go there. Don't go there.
Right, because he never shares good beers.
No, and he never comments or leaves anything at all every single week on the board.
That bastard.
Groucho and Chud, those guys give, and they give, and they give till it hurts.
They give till it hurts, and then they hurt some more.
And then they give some more, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then the last one we finished off, we had our Albert Lecoq, the extra double IPA. The extra double stout. It wasn't an IPA, which was like drinking wine.
Crazy. That was a wild one.
Yeah. And we talked about
Speaking
it left
wine,
hand.
We yep. have a barley, or sorry, we have a mead to drink on the next show.
Oh yeah, coming up next show. And what is that? Who's that from, Rick?
That's from Zach Mann from. Well, I know him from the Beer Tribe.
The Beer Tribe.
Not related to thebeersafari.com. It's thebeertribe.com.
Not to say you shouldn't go check out thebeertribe.com. And
you should check it out.
You should. I've heard that Johnny Max has a segment called It's the Alcohol Talking.
Yes.
Right. That's no, different from the beer talking.
Completely different from It's the Beer Talking. Nothing at all alike.
Well, when you go back to the Beer Tribe, I really like the Beer Tribe because it's got a nice forum on there, and you can. It's all about homebrew. And
yeah.
Since I've been doing a lot of homebrew lately, it's been a good resource.
Yeah, and honestly, they are a lot more into the homebrew than Beer Safari. And Beer Safari is more of the
craft
beer.
Go ask them. Somebody's had the same experience, and they can give you a damn good answer.
Yeah, and they're all willing to help, too, every one of them. Good stuff. And so we're going to have Zach Mann's mead, and which he has sent us some emails saying, you got to have this with something sweet, something chocolate. And so we're going to try that out next show, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So we've had our rah-rah, America, go us. We're all brotherly love shit.
We're all brothers.
And we didn't say a thing about the Democratic Convention here in Denver, Colorado.
Hey, fuck the Democrats. Okay. That's what. And I mean that in the most democratic way. Not that I'm a Republican or anything.
We're censoring.
I'm a GDI. No, yeah, good for them. I'm just out there getting in Rick's way. He's got to get to his.
That's right.
He's got to get his beer on, and they're going to be clogging up traffic and stuff. Why couldn't they have that in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, keep it out of my town.
That's right. All right. So obviously, this webcams weren't way too good. We just didn't have way too good a time with Rick.
Well, what's the music on the way out?
Booker at current events with BigFoamyHead.com.
Do what?
Class, culture, and current events with BigFoamyHead.com.
That's right.
We got it going on.
Okay. So we got outro music. Shit, you stumped me now. And what are we going to play? What are we going to play? I'm over here like weaseling, killing time. Yeah.
We're going to play some Stevie Ray Vaughan, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Actually, I've got an interesting little Stevie Ray Vaughan here. And this is from Montrose 85. And this is a little Stevie Ray Vaughan, Look at Little Sister. And this little rocking little tune. And we're going to rock out of here. And Rick has popped open a bottle of his homebrew Imperial Stout. How's it going down?
It's about 3 or 4 years old. It's got plums and raisins and a nice chocolatey head. This thing is aging amazingly.
All right. Well, and we've gone just super, super long on this last segment, 40 minutes. And if you've stuck with us, thank God for you.
More power to you.
There's a special place in heaven for you.
And beer heaven.
And for the rest of you who bailed out earlier, well, fuck all of you.
Yeah, screw okay? you.
No, but really.
They're probably the Democrats that listen.
Yeah, that's right. No, it's good stuff, though. It's been we've just had a lot of interesting times here. And, of course, we're all giddy as hell to see Rick. And we're, like, seeing each other now because of the miracle of Skype.
Yeah, it's cool.
Rick's looking awful debonair with that little goatee
growing
there.
Little facial hair.
He's
there,
looking cool. He's hip there. And so more stuff coming. We got the Mead coming up next week. We've got GABF in our immediate future, yep. And if Mike gets to go, 99.9% probability.
That's pretty damn good.
It's better than Vegas odds.
You're damn right.
We will just have us some stuff going on. So we'll see you next time.
Drive safe.
Check, please.
Hey, mama, look at this. Rolling up.